Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
Welcome to church. So good to see you. So glad that you were able to join us this morning. This is our first in-person Sunday of the year. Happy New Year. Happy 2025. We made it. We made it. We're not flying in cars yet in Ottawa. I was having a conversation with my son about this the other day, and I'm like, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I know they have a flying car in Dubai. Everything new happens in Dubai, it seems like, because they just seem to have all the money, I guess. I don't know what it is about Dubai, but flying cars haven't happened yet. Marty McFly got it wrong. We're not on hoverboards yet, but who knows? Who knows what will happen in 2045? Who thinks they're going to make it to 2045? Yeah. Well, we think, we hope. Well, welcome back. I want to just acknowledge a few things because, you know, we had two Sundays online. I felt like they were very significant. If you hadn't had a chance to watch them, I'd encourage you to go back on our YouTube channel and watch them, starting with the last Sunday of December. We had a good friend of mine, Pastor Chris Mathis from Summit Church in Edmonton, brought a really, really practical, I thought it was so practical. I don't know about you guys if you watched it, but I just felt so practical, so encouraging, so strategic for the season. I had no idea what he was going to talk about. In fact, I was recording some stuff with Eduardo at my house, and I had been thinking about how in the fall, or actually in June of last year, May and June of last year, I had said to our house that we were going to dive into Ephesians 4. Well, we never did that. It hasn't happened yet because I just felt like it wasn't the timing. I know we're going to hit it. And when I was recording, before I even knew what Pastor Chris was talking about, I felt the Lord remind me of that and say, okay, it's coming soon. I don't know when, probably sometime soon in the next few months, we're going to dive into Ephesians 4 in light of this theme that we're in with the kingdom. And then, you know, surprising to me, that was the whole word that he brought was about Ephesians 4. And I felt like it was prophetic in that it was the last Sunday of the year launching us into a new year. So I'm excited about the order and the health that's going to come in 2025 to our house, to this community here, to where God's taking us in the future. I'm excited. And I just felt like that was a prophetic word for our house. And then, of course, last week, something we'd never done before, that was a new experience. I rallied. I don't know, you know, I've heard the term said rallying business people is like herding cats. Well, rallying prophets is like herding cats. And I rallied four prophets, four prophetic friends of mine that are internationally recognized around the world, and they agreed to pray and speak into the life of our house. And so I was so grateful to have Patricia King, Stacy Campbell, two mothers of the faith, and Charlie Robinson, father of the faith, and a brother of mine, Sammy Robinson, just share and encourage us. And I'm going to be like, I'm not dissecting that. I am going to be referencing it. But if you haven't heard it, I would encourage you to go back and listen, because we need these now words to help frame and shape where we're going. And so if you haven't heard it, I would encourage you to go back and listen. And as this is the first Sunday in person, I do want to bring sort of what I feel like is a sub-theme to all the prophetic themes that were shared last week, and also a sub-theme to the theme that we've been in since the beginning of November. Now, those of you that have not been with us, your first time with us, or maybe you've not been tracking with us, we've been in this every week, Sunday to Sunday, this theme, discovering or rediscovering and redefining in our lives what it looks like to live kingdom. The message that Jesus brought the most was a message of the kingdom. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the central theme of Jesus' ministry, the thing that if his ministry was stamped by a theme, it was the message of the kingdom of God. And so we've been talking about this week in and week out since the beginning of November. And it came out of a word that I felt like God shared to me in the beginning of November, saying that we're moving into a new era as a church, not just locally here, but as a global church. We're moving into a new era. And I knew that it was restoring our understanding of the most central theme and words of Jesus, and that's the message of the kingdom of God. So if you've not been tracking with us, I would encourage you to go back and listen so you can kind of catch up to speed with where we've been and where we're going. And so for this Sunday, I want to propose to you a sub-theme to this theme and all the other prophetic themes that we've been hearing the last several weeks. And it came out of, my wife and I were away, and I was in the sauna, and I was just sitting there, and I was asking God to speak to me about this year. And how many know when you're in a sauna and your kids aren't in the sauna with you? Because someone asked me, how was vacation? And I'm like, vacation was great, but if you're asking me, do I feel restful? To a degree. Because when you have four kids and you go on a vacation, it's not necessarily super restful. It's restful in a way. You get what I'm saying, right? Anybody have kids in here? Yeah, nobody? Yeah, anybody? Yeah. Vacation just looks different when you have kids. I'm thankful. I love my kids. Don't get me wrong. I love going on little vacations with my kids. But I don't always come back feeling supercharged. You know what I'm saying? But I was alone in the sauna, and I was laying in the sauna, and we were on a little snowboarding trip in Calabogie, and I was laying in the sauna, and I heard this word so clear. It was so clear, and it was the word formation. That's all I heard, formation. I'm like, hey, God, I'm like, what is this? What is this? There's so many. When God gives you a word but no detail around the word, just know that it's going to be probably take you some time to unpack what it is that he's trying to get across to you. What is it about formation in 2025? What is God forming in you, in me, in 2025? What is God forming in this community in 2025? What is God forming in the life of kingdom culture in 2025? What is God forming in your marriage, in your parenting, in your job, in your career? There's something about formation that is so key and so kingdom for your life, for my life, for our lives in 2025. And I want to unpack a little bit of that this morning because I felt like God shared with me a few things around this word formation. And so in light of this theme that we've been in on the kingdom, I'm calling this, if there was a title, Kingdom Formation. Write that down. Kingdom Formation. This is a year where I believe there will be kingdom, new kingdom, strengthened formation in your life and around your life. And I thought about what this word meant for us, but I want to give you a working definition first, a working definition of this word formation. I was just curious to see the different angles defined in the dictionary of this word, and it's the action of forming or process of being formed. The action of forming or the process of being formed. Now, we all know we are all in process, right? Right? Wives, just look at your husband. We're all in process. Okay, we are not perfected in our flesh, so to speak. We are perfected in spirit, but our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions are catching up to who we are in God every day. Who we are in God is raised with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places. Who we are with God is in perfect union with him, but our mind, our will, and emotions are catching up to that reality every day. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because there is a continuation of transformation, of becoming more and more like Christ, right? So we are being formed. There is a process where we are being formed over and over again, day in and day out. Second definition, working definition for you, is a thing that has been formed. So what has already been formed in your life, and what are you doing with that formation? What has God already given you? And how are you stewarding that? How are you managing that? How is that thing functioning to grow and get better? You with me? I love that concept. And then a structure. I love this. A structure or arrangement of something. A structure or arrangement of something. How many know that in the army, there needs to be a formation? There is an arrangement. There is an order. Wars are not won with dysfunction. Wars are not won with disorder. Wars are won with proper formation. There's proper order. When there's order, there's health. When there's disorder, there's a lack of health. There's discord. There's division. But when there's order, there's health, there's maturity. And so formation, what is God forming in you? What is God speaking to you to take and make better in 2025? What is God saying that he wants to rearrange or arrange in your life? Family, maybe it's family dynamics. Maybe it's relational dynamics. Maybe it's something in your career. Maybe it's one of your businesses. Like, what is God reforming? What is God arranging, rearranging? You know, what is the battle formation for you in 2025? What is your battle formation? Ask yourself that question What's my battle formation? What's my formation in 2025 to fight and win the fights that I'm called to win? What does the formation look like? What does the alliances look like? The relationships look like? What does my daily habits look like? My routines look like? My calendar look like? Like, all these questions are very important questions to ask. But I want to talk about, I want to highlight, if I can, three elements of formation. Three elements, main elements of formation. Number one, write this down. It's the formation of the soul. I think this is the most important formation. I heard one amen. Someone agrees with this. The most important formation is the formation of the soul, because the soul, like I said, is catching up. The soul is what makes you you. Your affections, your desires, your mind, your will and emotions. Your soul is catching up to who you are in Christ, to who you are as a son of God, who you are identified as a son. Your soul is constantly catching up, chasing after who you are. Who am I really? Like, who am I really? Am I who society says I am? Am I who my wife says I am? Am I who my husband says I am? Am I who my kids say I am? Am I who my friends say I am? My coworkers? No, I am who God says I am. And we start, that's our starting point. So our soul is constantly chasing after that reality every day. And we miss it, we forget. You know, we forget, so Jesus says, okay, to not forget, I want you to take communion because it's going to help bring me back to the forefront of your focus. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember who I am, what I am, what I say about you, what I did for you on behalf of you. Remember is the greatest tool or weapon that we fight with. Forgetfulness is a form of surrender to the enemy. You know that? Forgetfulness is a form of surrender to the enemy, but remembering is picking up your weapon and fighting again the fight that you're called to fight. Are you here this morning? Remembering is everything. If I am discouraged, if I am, like Pastor Michelle was mentioning earlier, like if you're discouraged, or Yeka, she mentioned it as well, you know, if you have hope deferred, the greatest thing that you can do is take a moment to remember his faithfulness, remember his word, remember what he said, remember what he did, and all of a sudden now faith is re-energized. So remembering is one of the greatest weapons that we fight with, and forgetfulness. And I want to say this, forgetfulness is almost like a willing surrender. Because some of us choose to forget. You know how we choose to forget? By not prioritizing God in our life. So we choose to prioritize everything else and push out God. Therefore, we forget the goodness of God. And then we, you know, we make it to the end of the year and we say, okay, we're going to start off the new year in a different way. Right? We do this all the time. We're going to start off 2025. We're going to be different. We're going to do different. We're going to start new. We're going to have new resolutions, all these things. And all those are good. Most people don't actually live out the resolutions long term, but there's good intention. We celebrate the intention. We celebrate, you know, the heart, the genuineness of the heart. But honestly, at the end of the day, the only reason why you're not winning is because you're not remembering. And somewhere along the line, there was things that were out of order in your life, and your soul stopped prospering. This is why it's so important that we emphasize the formation of the soul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says this, the apostle says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man," everyone say outward man, that's your wrinkly body. Your body's getting more wrinkly day by day, more sore day by day. Your outward body is perishing. Yet the inward man, the inward part of you, the soul part of you is being renewed day by day. So although on the outside things are falling apart, thank God we have a God who cares about the inside, and the inside is being revitalized and renewed if we remember. If we choose to remember the goodness of God when we're not doing good. So many people let their lives get totally sidetracked because of discouragement, and the only thing they had to do was to remember. Because when you're discouraged, all you do is see what's not happening. You forget all the things that already happened. And when you forget all the things that already happened, you willingly surrender your soul and your heart to the enemy. To blacken your heart, to darken your heart. That's why when you talk to some people who are super discouraged, it's like darkness. It's like oppression. It's like a weight. Because they've darkened their heart by partnering with the enemy, that his testimony is more powerful than everything that God was and is and has done in your life. Because all you see is the negative. Man, this is the fight that we have. That's why remembering is so important, if there's going to be a renewed inward man, formation of the soul day by day. Paul also said it like this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. He says he prays and he labors in the spirit for the believers in Galatia, verse chapter 4, verse 19. "My dear children, for whom I again in the pains of childbirth," he's carrying these believers in his heart because he sees the false teaching that's infecting the believers in Galatia. He sees the false narratives. He sees these false teachers that are coming in and swaying them away from the grace of God. And he's addressing these things in the book of Galatians. But he says, "I'm carrying you, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." I mean, he's likening the weight that he carries for these believers to a woman in childbirth. Like, "I carry it like a woman in childbirth. It's painful for me to watch what's taking place. It's painful for me to watch how you're missing it and you're forgetting and you're losing your battles that you don't have to lose. It's painful for me to watch because I care about the formation of your soul. It's painful for me." But he says, My desire is to see Christ, what? Formed in you. Because there is a everyday forming and reforming that's happening. There's an everyday renewing that's happening. Yes, we receive, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on a cross, paid the price for our sin, was risen from the dead on the third day, which literally segregates and separates him from every other false god. Muhammad didn't do that. Buddha didn't do that. Hare Krishna, all these guys, Joseph Smith didn't do that. Jesus separates himself. Without the resurrection, there would be no faith. So he dies on a cross. He resurrects. We celebrate that. We believe that. But now we're having a hard time letting that reality permeate every part of our life and be formed in every area of our life. This is the spiritual journey that we're on, right? What does it look like for Christ to be formed in my leadership, in my career, in my marriage, in my husbandhood, in my wifehood, in my fatherhood, in my friendshiphood, if that's a word. Like, in every area, what does it look like for Christ to be formed in and through me? This is the journey that we're all on. This was Paul's prayer. I want Christ to be formed in you. permeate every part of you, like I said earlier. Because here's the thing. The only way that that is going to happen is when we stay in that place of remembering, keeping our focus right. Like I said, we empower whatever we focus on. We become whatever we behold. Like whatever our gaze is towards, there's a manifestation. Remember, iniquity, the word iniquity, which is what robbed Eve in the garden, right? Remember what happened in Genesis chapter 3? What robbed Eve in the garden when the Satan in this form of a serpent came, said, did God really say? Well, that iniquity is what is the nature that defined the serpent. Iniquity is what kicked Lucifer out of heaven and sent him to the earth to crawl on his belly. Iniquity is what tempted Eve to eat that fig on that fig tree, that beautiful, luscious fig. Remember, that word iniquity in the Hebrew is made up of a bunch of letters that if you draw a picture from those letters, it literally could be defined as whatever your eye hooks into multiplies. So whatever you stare at multiplies in your life. And so it says in Genesis chapter 3 that she saw the fruit on this tree, and it was fruit desirable to make one wise. She desired this luscious fruit. She lusted after what was not hers to go after. And guess what happened? That sin nature that was in that snake multiplied into everybody born after Eve. Because whatever your eye hooks into multiplies. Whatever you stare at actually multiplies into dysfunction or function in your life. I want function. I don't want dysfunction. I want order. I don't want disorder. So whatever I'm staring at, whatever I'm focusing on, I'm empowering to be reproduced and multiplied in and through my life. Remember that in 2025. That's why it's so important. The angels, all they look at all day long is the holiness of God. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. They know nothing but holiness. I mean, that's a prophetic model for us, to know nothing but holiness. 24 hours, I mean, time doesn't exist the same way it exists here, but think about this, 24/7, all they're doing all the time is acknowledging and beholding the holiness of God. So wherever your sights are set will determine the transformation in your life. Think about this as we jump into 2025. Wherever your sights are set and established in your life, wherever your focuses are, if it's money, guess what? You'll give what money gives you or wants to give you. And usually it's a lot of destruction. But when your sights are set on God and money comes, you'll be able to manage it and multiply it in a healthy way and it won't take you out. Colossians chapter 3 says it like this. Paul says again, the believers at Colossus in chapter 3, verse 1, since you have been raised to new life. So since you have an elevated perspective already, whether you know it or not, you're already elevated. You've been raised with Christ. You've been seated with him, it says in Ephesians chapter 1. You've been seated with him in heavenly places. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights, so set your focus on the realities of heaven. Set your sights. What people say, like, well, what's the realities of heaven? Just read the book of Revelation. If you want to know the realities of heaven, read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation will give you and lay out a map of heaven, a literal map of what heaven looks like, what heaven sounds like, and what heaven is like. So if you want to know what the realities of heaven is, think about John's vision, the book of Revelation, and set your sights there. Set your sights on what the angels are setting their sights on. Set your sights on good things, praiseworthy things. Set your sights on healing. There is no sickness in heaven. Set your sights on sin-free living because there's no sin in heaven. Set your sights there. I'm not saying work in your flesh and add all these disciplines to make your behavior better. I'm telling you, your behavior will only follow your focus. Your behavior will follow wherever your focus is. That's a reality. If your focus is on the negative, your behavior will follow that. and your behavior will be negative. If your focus is on the good, the praiseworthy, the noble, the good things of life, the good things in your relationship with God, your life will follow suit. It says here, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2, listen to this. Think about things of heaven, not the things of the earth, for you died to this life. You died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So everything outside of Christ in God is fake. It's false. To live like an orphan when you're called the son is to live in a false identity. Everything outside of sonship is false. It's fake. It's temporary. It's based upon situations, experiences, and things that happen to you. And so when you feel unworthy, when you feel like I'm not good enough, and you all those things, you are aligning yourself with your false identity as an orphan. Fake identity. You're walking around with a fake ID. You're showing the world, look at my fake ID. No one wants to see your fake ID. They want to see the real you. And the real you is only found in Christ, hidden in God, in God, in Christ. And it says here, hidden, which means you have to go chase after it. It's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you to discover. But it's hidden. It's very important that we get this. Like, your real life is hidden. So what are you going to do? Go after it. The real version of you. See, this is why there's a formation of the soul happening, because the soul is catching up to the real version of you. The soul is trying to chase after the hidden real version of you, because the soul knows, I don't want to walk around with this fake ID anymore. I want the real version of me. The goal is for the real version of us to stand up in every situation. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So if you want to discover you, if you want to figure out you, you want to know the will of God for your life, which is you, find God. Find Christ. Because it's hidden with Christ in God. And where is he? Where is he? I mean, it's not, don't think of it like a vertical, like out there, but he is in an elevated place above you. His thoughts are above and beyond your thoughts. His ways are beyond your ways. Everything that he is elevated beyond you. That's why he says in Colossians, set your sights on things above. They're not beneath. They're not at your level. They're above your level. Go higher. Think bigger. Think beyond where you are right now. Because this is where the formation of the soul starts. I was thinking back to my journey when I was competing in these bodybuilding physique competitions, and I did three of them, three provincial championships in 2018 and 19, and I was thinking about my journey and how all the coaches I had. At one point, I had three coaches at a time. I had posing coaches, I had dietary coaches, I had training, you know, and the amount of investment that I had to make into my life for formation, for transformation was a lot of commitment. I mean, I'd be at church. Back then, we had like two or three services. I'd be at church, you know, I'd be in between services, like eating my almond butter and my chicken and cold sweet potato and cold, nasty, soggy asparagus. Like, it was inconvenient. Shoving down spinach down my mouth. Like, this was like my food in between services. But I also committed to let people help me. Because there's no transformation without people. There's no transformation without community. There's no transformation. And my second thought in this theme of kingdom formation is the formation of family. Write that down. We have the formation of soul, but we also need the formation of family. Like, there is no true transformation by yourself. I thought I was amazing until I had friendships, until I had relationships, you know, until you have kids. You think you're like selfless, you know. When you get married, you learn about selflessness, right? Then you have kids and you realize how selfish you are. I actually every day feel selfish, just so you know. I look at my kids, my four kids, you know, like sometimes I have this guilt or I'm like, if I'm not like constantly engaging them in their childhood, like I take a moment from I'm selfish. I constantly battle with that feeling of selfishness. Now, it doesn't last forever because I'm mature enough to understand balance. But like having kids makes you realize how selfish you really are. Every day. It's a mirror. It's a magnifying glass. And then when they get older, they start calling you out on your junk. That's a whole other thing. It's like, where did you come from? That was amazingly wise. Thank you very much. You just rebuked me. I'm questioning, is that allowed? I don't know yet. Can you do that? I am your elder. Like, you know, like, where's the line, you know? But like, friendships, relationships, parenting, all are like a mirror to help you become better. Because the formation of soul happens in the formation of family, the formation of unified values and vision. Family is truly formed through unity, peace, love, and honor for each other. And I'm praying that this year for Kingdom Culture, the family would get stronger. Greater unity, love, honor, respect, peace. And here's the thing, the family, like the idea of family, which is being attacked in society every day, all the time, being divided, being destroyed, being assaulted, the idea of family and kingdom go hand in hand. In fact, you cannot have kingdom without family. The kingdom of God is family. And we've been talking every week about the kingdom, and Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5, and he says, we've been adopted into, he doesn't say it like this, but I'm just going to paraphrase it, and I'm going to read the verse. We have been adopted into God's kingdom, which he calls the family of God. The family of God is the kingdom of God, but he calls it adopted into the family of God. But what he's saying is, you've been adopted into a new kingdom. You've been adopted into a new kingdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. God decided in advance that it was a good idea to adopt us into his own family, which is his kingdom, by bringing us to himself through Christ, through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him good pleasure. He decided in advance, before you ever even needed to be adopted, because you weren't even born yet, he made the statement, when you're born, I've already sent the adoption papers, and all you have to do is say yes. I'm not going to make you come. I'm not going to make you get to my, but all you have to do, if you're willing, you're in. I've predestined you to be adopted into the family, which is the kingdom of God. So there is no kingdom without family. There is no family without kingdom in this context. But then we have this fight to have a unified family. You ever had like division in your family? Man, 2020, 2021, what a fun time. Got the pro-vaxxers, the pro-maskers, you know? Then you got there's still some people today that still wear masks in their car alone, and I don't understand why. But man, that season of life was so divisive, right? Like disunity was everywhere. There's families that still do not talk to each other because they didn't get the jab. Imagine that. You die, you get into heaven, and God's looking at you like, how much relationship did you lose because of this vaccine? Like, it's crazy. I know it's controversial for some of you. I'm not saying I'm pro or anti. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is, don't let things that don't matter in eternity divide things while you're here on the earth. We have a fight for a unified family. If we're going to have a formation of family, we have to fight to be unified. We cannot be effective and stand up to darkness if the church is not unified. Right now, we have big divides. We have right-leaning political churches now, and we have left-leaning political churches now. You know that people come to church now, and they leave church based upon the leader's political perspective, rather than the leader's biblical perspective, which influences their political perspective. They make a decision without understanding their biblical perspective, their political perspective. And this is what's happening in the church. There's a divide right now, which is why there's a new era, I believe, coming into the church where it's not about politics, it's about kingdom. And kingdom instructs politics, not the other way around. And that's where we're heading. And so when we get kingdom, it will re-instruct and help us rethink about our politics. Jesus has this confrontation with the religious people, and he's casting out this demon out of this man who's blind and also could not speak, and he heals this man. And the Pharisees basically accuse him and say, no wonder he's casting out this demon. He's casting out a demon because he has a demon. Because he's casting out a demon with the power of Satan. Imagine that. Here, Jesus Christ, who's God in the flesh, God incarnate, being accused by the very people that are waiting for God to come in the flesh. He's standing there right in front of them, and they're accusing him. The way that he healed this boy is because he's casting out the demon because he has the power of Satan within him. And so he has this confrontation in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. It says, Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, any kingdom divided, any family. Look, whenever you see kingdom, think about family now, okay, for a second. Every family divided by civil war is doomed. When there's division in the family, that family is doomed. Maybe it's division in money, management of money, division and management of you know, maybe it's the values, you know, it's maybe it's politics, maybe it's, I don't know, there's so many areas of our lives that can cause division and break down the family unit, break down the marriage. If a kingdom is divided by civil war, it is doomed. A town or family, listen to this, or family, he relates what he's saying to family, a town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. Then he says, then he confronts their thought. He says in verse 26, and if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. In other words, your own family, your own kingdom will not survive if you're always at each other's throats. You will not survive. I feel so blessed and thankful because it's not everybody's experience. That my kids, all my kids are under the age of 15, but all my kids, they truly, genuinely love each other. Yeah, they fight, but they work it out quickly. And I don't know if it's because we've created a model for that. I don't know. It's the grace of God. I'm thankful. I mean, we've been very intentional, you know, very intentional over the years. And we've been very hard in our parenting in the sense of hard compared to this soft, woke, weird, wacky, gentle parenting, kids rule the show parenting, which is probably demonic in its origins, you know. Train a child the way they should go, and they will not part from it, you know. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I mean, Solomon said it. He was the wisest guy. Don't be stupid in your parenting. But I'm thankful that my kids, like, love each other, and they can fight, and they work it out. But a town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. Your kingdom will not survive. And he says, and he closes with this, he says in verse 27, and if I am empowered by Satan, this is Jesus using their own verbiage against them, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. Verse 28, but if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. In other words, when there's unity, the kingdom is there. When there's health and formation in family, the kingdom is there. You hearing this? I believe this in 2025 for us, there is a greater level of strength coming to the formation of family in this house. And this is going to happen through many different ways, but one of the things I want to highlight is God wants us to have a greater level of formation around unified vision. And I want to highlight this last Sunday. This last Sunday on we called it our prophetic Sunday. We had these four amazing prophetic voices, and we tried something. I don't know if it totally worked amazing. Next time we'll do it a little bit different, but we tried kind of making it more engaging by cutting and pasting. We should have probably just had one by one go and flow. Hindsight is always the best sight. But either way, some of the things that were highlighted in this on this prophetic Sunday was having a greater expectation. And so what does it look like for us to have expectation in 2025 as a family? A family with expectation. Talked about kingdom culture, meaning the revelation of kingdom in the culture, using media to influence the culture. What does that look like, and what do we need to do to rally behind that as a family in unity? Talked about governmental anointing and influencing government. We are in a governmental city, therefore we should always be influencing government. We're thankful for our government people in the house. Who are some of the government people in the house? Put your hands up. We bless you. We bless you. You're strategically positioned there to influence. You're called to be like a Daniel, a Joseph. You're not just there to work a job, get a pension. In fact, I would say the pension, if the pension is what's motivating you, you've lost the plot. Okay? It's got to be kingdom. You're there. You're put in there. You're put in the lion's den to minister to the lions. Another word that I think it was Patricia brought was extravagance. What does it look like to live in extravagance and be extravagant in our giving and in the way we love him and love God in 2025? She talked about more than enough. Talked about, I think it was Sammy Robinson mentioned greater miracles in 2025. What are we believing for? And I love this. I'm not sure who mentioned this. I forget, but family revival. And I just believe this in what I'm talking about right now. There is a formation happening with greater and greater family in this community, and there's going to be great revival in family. But it starts not in church. It starts in the home, you guys. It starts in the home. We must position ourselves. Unity in the family looks like positioning ourselves in prayer, but also practically, to create a framework for all these things to begin to move forward. And so we have the formation of soul, the formation of family. And the third thing I want to highlight, I want to close with, is that with family then comes the formation of function. Write that down. The formation of function. We have to function. Like, my family will not be a healthy family if my family, the members of my household, are not functioning. Like, my kids have to be raised up in a culture where they know what work ethic is. They have to function. They got to do stuff. And I do think we've babied a generation to some degree. But I think we're shifting. And I just believe that this next generation of children has the potential to be the most powerful generation of children that re-energizes and revitalizes our culture again to be what it's supposed to be. Especially Generation Alpha. I just believe that we have a responsibility as parents, but also as leaders, to make sure that people in the family are functioning. And there'll be greater function in 2025 into understanding. Now, this is a key. If you're going to function, you have to know this very important truth: who you are and who you're not. Because God will never bless who I pretend to be. So I have to know who I am and know who I'm not. And so many of us spend so much time trying to be something we're not, wasting who we are. 40 years go by and we're still not living the life we're called to live. Because maybe society or media or somebody told you have to do this and be this. If this is what it's supposed, this is what you're supposed to look like. Kingdom has function. There's formation. Kingdom has order. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we see to some have been given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the believers for the work of the ministry so that, and until, there's unity and maturity, so that there will be maturity, so that we will grow up into the full stature of who Christ is. Like, This is the plan of God. There's function for a reason. Function, without function, there's no healthy family. You can have family, but without function, there's no healthy family. There's chaos. If the mother does everything, there's chaos. If the dad does everything, there's chaos. But when everybody is functioning, there's order. And when there's order, there's health. This is what the formation of function looks like in the context of family. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lays out the different functions in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12 lays out many functions in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 says this, he makes the whole body. Everyone say whole body, because this is important. The whole body. Everybody that calls Jesus their Lord is a part of the body of Christ. Whether you understand what that means or not. And if you're a part of the body of Christ, you are a part of fitting in function. And if you're not functioning, you're robbing yourself and robbing somebody else. You are a robber. I'm sorry, that's just the way to say it. Like, you're a robber. You're robbing yourself and you're robbing somebody else. If my arm is not functioning in my body, it's robbing my body of the ability to utilize strength in other parts of my body. It's robbing my left arm, because now my left arm has to do all the work. So my left arm is being robbed because my right arm is lazy. It's not functioning. When there's no function in the body is dysfunctional. It's like the Walking Dead. You look ridiculous. The church looks ridiculous because parts of the body are functioning, but parts of the body are not functioning. And so people complain about the church and what they're not doing, but it's not because the church doesn't have the right heart. It's because the people do not have the revelation of family to function together to be a healthy body. So imagine now, it's like you become a bodybuilding church. Where you're sculpting the body. The body is, every part of the body is functioning. You got the quads, you got the glutes, you got the hamstrings, you got the calf muscles, you got the traps, you got the shoulders, you got Mark Papineau's chest, you got it all. And you're walking, and now you can present yourself to the culture, and people are like, whoa, look at that body. That's how the church is supposed to look like in the culture. You see what I'm saying? When everybody's functioning. You ever seen a guy who is super jacked in his upper body but has no legs? We don't want to be that church. But listen to what he says here, and I'm almost done. So hold on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And listen to this. So what does perfectly look like? As each part does its own, it's special. Everything that you have to offer is special. It doesn't matter if you're hidden. You know, in the actual body, the hidden parts are the most special parts. They're the parts that make life happen. They're not seen, thank God. But they make it all happen, baby. So even the hidden parts, they're special. The ones that don't get the acknowledgement are special. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does. Doesn't say intends to. Doesn't say one day when I'm perfect, got it all together, my family's intact. No. When each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts what? Grow. So to not do your own special work is to stop someone else from growing. That's why I said you're a robber. Now that's a heavy word for 2025, but I don't want to be a robber in any area of my life. When I am not functioning, let's just say, put it in context in the house. If I as a man, as a husband, am not functioning in my role as a man and as a husband in my actual house, I am robbing other people. Because now they got to pick up the slack. You see that? This is in every area. This is in healthy family. It helps the other parts grow so that, everyone say so that because this is so important, so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. So that the whole body, we want the whole body growing. A growing, vibrant, strong family that functions. The human body has many parts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. But the many parts make up one whole body. I want you to stand up as we close, because I want to pronounce this to you. I believe this is happening. This is kind of part of what I saw. So there's a formation happening, okay, in your life personally. There's a formation happening. We can't forget that the formation of the soul is most important, because this then leads into the healthy formation of family, which ultimately leads to a healthy function, right? If we're a healthy family, we're going to function. And if we're going to function, we're going to be a healthy family. But because of this, you will have a future. And there is, I would propose this to you, there is no healthy future without these things intact. There is no going ahead, advancing, if we don't have these intact. There is no winning a battle on the battlefield if there's no formation. If there's no battle formation, there's no unity, there's no personal strength, there is no winning the battle. There is no future. I want you to close your eyes just for a second, because I feel like some of you, you've come into 2025 praying and hoping that this year would look different than the previous one, maybe the previous two. You have everything you need in your hands to make that happen right now. But maybe what you don't have yet is you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus. This is the most important thing that you can do. If you're, maybe you're, someone invited you here this morning, this is the most important thing you can do, is to start 2025 and say, okay, I'm all in. I'm surrendering my life to you. I believe that you are Lord, that you are King. I believe that you are raised from the dead on the third day, and I want relationship with you. So today I'm receiving your forgiveness, and I'm getting off the fence of indecision, the fence of confusion, the fence of neutrality, and I'm coming into relationship with you. That's the most important decision you can make. Once you make that decision, you have everything you need to change the narrative and the experience of this year and make it a lot different than last year. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to invite our ministry, some of our ministry team, to the front here. And we're going to make some room available just for prayer. If you need prayer as a couple, as a family, direction in your life, maybe you need a healing in your body, a physical healing in your body. Something's happening in your soul. You're vexed in your soul. I don't know, addictions. You want to start the year off right, breaking addiction, breaking habits. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe there's discord right now in your family. Things aren't functioning the way they could. I don't know what it is for you, but don't leave here without letting somebody stand with you and believe with you that this year will be different for you, that God will heal and touch your family, your marriage, your relationships, your career, in Jesus' name. So I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to invite you, if you at any moment, just come to the front. But God, I thank you, and we're going to worship a little bit. God, I thank you for your victory. God, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. 2025, I just speak into this year. I prophesy into this year that it will be a great formation of soul, a great formation of family, and a great formation of function, so we can live and experience a healthy future. God, I speak to this year, that this year will be a banner year for our lives. It will be a new year. It won't be like an old year. It will be a new year, brand new in every way, in every way, in every way, in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for what you're about to do in 2025, for what you're about to say over our lives, over our families. God, I pray for healing in the body. This would be a year of great healing, a year of great miracles in our lives, financial miracles in our job, in our families, God, in our physical bodies. This would be a year of great victory in our emotions, in our mental, the mental stuff going on in our lives right now, mental instability. God, there would be stability that you'd bring back into our lives in Jesus' name. Come on, let's begin to pray. If you need prayer, come to the front.